Welcome to Awakening Matters, spiritual dialogues that invite joy, wisdom, and laughter, engaging topics of our humanity from an infinite dimensional perspective with myself, Cynthia Sloan, and co-host,
Ani Avedisian. Hello, everyone. As usual, we are delighted to have you with us this evening. And this show is, as you know, all about listener participation, and we'd love to hear your questions and comments during the second part of the show, and we will be announcing the open to call at that time. Make a note of the number, why don't you? It's 1-877-876-5227. Again, that's 1-877-876-5227. Hi, Cynthia.
Hey, Ani, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you today?
Fabulous. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Today, we're going to be discussing molecular structures, how to change everything from ice cream to your bank account to whatever you'd like, in fact, to reflect the abundance you would like to bring forth, or if you already have it, that you would like to share. It's a fascinating opportunity for everyone to really contemplate not only their personal participation, but as always, coming from me, their universal link to all events that are happening around them. Molecular structure is very interesting to see it visually, as I have been able to, gifted since 6 years old, the ability to see the communication around me universally in all structures. It's fascinating because it doesn't just move with sacred geometry, but it also moves electrically or magnetically, depending on the need of the density regarding the matter, like a couch versus a chair versus a food group versus liquid. It's fascinating to visually see all that's happening and communicating in its environment with itself, and to be not only visually conscious of that electrical, magnetic flow and energetic resonance, but then to realize that when looking from one object to the next, that the molecular structure of all objects in our environments, regardless of where our environment is, out in nature or in your home, in your living room, or in a supermarket, that in between our thoughts with ourselves and each other, that the environments that we're in are communicating with each other, literally, molecularly, and energetically. We've got structures all around us communicating with each other in their own environment. So it's really, really fascinating. What are your thoughts on that, Ani?
I know I don't see things quite the same way as you do, but I totally get what you're saying. You know, what's really interesting for me is how we interact with all of that that's going on. And I think a lot of my work is trying to teach people how to, you know, what is the basis of that interaction and what is the basis of that creation. And it all starts, I think the interaction all starts with the creation process at intention. Does that make sense to you, Cynthia?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to talk about, if I may, a little bit, that, you know, intent is the basis of creation. So we are in this wonderful, I think, even it's a perfect universe, although scientists would tell me that there's a lot of random elements in it that they can't quite explain, and they're just going to, you know, give that up to the lords of nature. But, you know, intent is the basis of all creation. And when we want to start to interact and change what we would call the molecular structure, we want to change how we interact with things, we can shape our thoughts and thinking from a purely what I would call a spiritual reality, a non-local domain, a divine perspective, I think, is what you would call it. Then we can tune in to all that there is and really just be a part of it. And at that level of creation, at that spiritual level of creation, then we can be a part of it and start to change it and create our world within and around that.
Absolutely, I agree. Absolutely,
yeah.
It does to me. I think that intent, and I think conscious or unconscious, known or unknown, it's the, so often in our humanity, we rely on our mental consciousness to define our level of spiritual wisdom or our level of knowledge. And so often, our mental body of work or our mental energetic makeup can't even conceive of the whole dialogue that we are literally taking part in. And I think that's when our feeling body, our trust within it, and our energetic senses of what's going on around us, I think it's almost like what you were saying and expanding on that, to expand and include all the inputs of our environment means to literally become more aware of the communication through our senses, our feeling body, etc., and then being guided to really trust the feelings we're getting. You know, we talked about everything from ice cream, etc., and what I mean by that is that literally when I look at ice cream or any other type of food, there is an energetic and physical sacred geometry, ley lines, in movement at all times. All form is in movement, life being movement, movement being communication. But it's literally, let's take a bowl of ice cream, literally the sacred geometry, I think it depends on the flavor, but the sacred geometry.
Sorry, carry on, Cynthia.
Depending on the flavor, if it's your favorite or if they're out, I'm sure your relationship with that moment and ice cream is diminished. But in seriousness, to the degree that we should take any of this seriously, but the ice cream molecularly has a communication with itself. It's fascinating to me because it has a communication with its substance, its own texture, not unlike we have a communication with our own bodies, the texture of our skin and our environment. Every single form has that relationship with itself as well. If you think about it, all these points of light, originating points of light as source and energy where everything begins, it moves into a collaboration, if you will, points of light becoming so dense that they communicate with each other and experience themselves as ice cream, and then literally experience themselves communicating with each other. This happens through visually. When I look at it, it happens not only through the sacred geometry, but it happens through all of the, I would say, divine cooperation of these structures molecularly, energetically, vibrationally, intentionally, communicating with the person who has ordered that up and about to ingest it. And so all of this means is that you can individualize your experience with that ice cream as much as you can have the experience that everyone else does. I invite everyone that's listening to contemplate literally placing their hands above their ice cream in the bowl, or intentionally focusing their energy like a source of light on the ice cream and communicating with it as though it's a relationship in the universe they're about to participate in, and really letting the ice cream know. And it might sound silly to some or fantastic to others that think, I've tried every diet in the world, maybe I just need to communicate consciously and be present in the moment, but communicate with the ice cream and let it know, I invite you into my sacred temple, and I invite your perfection into my sacred temple, and I invite the outcome to be of the Most High, and for this ice cream to source my body with the greatest healing, the greatest joy, etc. What happens is molecularly, the ice cream and the structure of it, the consciousness of it, is able to agree and co-create that for the person. And I'm not just speaking about that etherically. I have put it to the test myself. So it definitely is an opportunity to be fully present in your experience and have the experience of a person, place, or thing recognizing you and authentically taking your intention into account. What do you think, Ani?
I think very well put and very flavorfully put, actually. The integration of all of the realms, that's what we're talking about. And it does take a little bit of time to sort of understand the process. What is the physical realm anyway? What we call the material world. And for a lot of people still, it is the only world that the people think is real. you know, the third dimensional world where we experience everything with our five senses. We hear, we feel, we taste, we smell, you know, the earth, the oceans, the strip malls, you know, in this realm where you know, time appears to be linear and we can identify the past, the present, and the future. Everything in our experience is supposed to have a beginning and a middle and an end, and we're born and we live and we die. And if the apple falls on our head, you know, we get hit. It's action, reaction. We predict. We think. We think we know how things are going to work out. We touch it. It's real. This is the physical realm where a lot of people think that this is all that there is. And it's such an outward manifestation. The physical realm is almost a side effect of the thought process. Mm-hmm. You know, and if we look a little bit, and I'm still staying with the whole ice cream concept because I love that concept. But, you know, and if we still move a little bit away from the physical realm, and bear with me, everyone out there, when I say that physical manifestation is actually a side effect of the thought process. You'll see what we mean by the end of the show, hopefully. You know, everything has to be thought into reality first. So, you know, there's another whole sort of what we would call a quantum realm, a quantum domain, where nothing in that level can be perceived by any of the five senses. What we would commonly think of as the realm of the mind, the ego, the thoughts, what we identify as ourself. And nothing in that realm, of course, is solid. It's all mind. So everything we experience in this physical realm is just a result, a manifestation of the energetic information that we keep processing in this quantum realm. For example, you know, everybody remember Einstein? You know, E equals MC squared, energy equals mass at the speed of light squared, energy equals mass, you know? Mm-hmm. Like you were saying, all of these solid objects on this physical realm are made up of molecules, which are in turn made up of atoms, which are in turn made up of subatomic particles, which are then simply non-physical packets of information and energy that are vibrating against each other so very, very fast that we can't see them. And, you know, and it's making our third dimensional world. And our collective energy, or everything that we think together, causes some sort of collective energy of the environment. So that's where we do all of our thinking, in this wonderful little in-between quantum realm. And even beyond that, and I'm taking some time to explain these three dimensions because it really is important. For life, the universe, and everything in every situation. But, you know, that's where we do all our thinking. But beyond that, of course, is that what we call the spiritual realm, what some people call God, spirit, what some people call the non-local realm or the non-local domain. And this godlike spirit realm exists outside any notion of time and space. It is simply pure potential. It's beyond even the information and the energy that is shared and processed and used in the quantum realm. It's that God unconditional love, and that is why the name of spirit is known simply as I Am, because it is simply pure potential. And our soul experience is at this level. It isn't actively listening to this broadcast or decoding or sorting information. Our soul level experience is simply experiencing it at this virtual level. And in this realm of absolute super consciousness, there's no lag time, there's no healing curve. If you raise your consciousness to live at this level, aka the divine perspective, you will be perceived as a miracle maker. You know, you'll be able to manifest anything you desire and require immediately. You'll be able to interact in the ways that we talk about and we're going to continue talking about today. This is living beyond ego and all limitation. And this is our soul connected to the beauty and the rhythms of the entire universe. And ultimately, this is the realm that we want to experience from. And I just wanted to explain all that, Cynthia, if you don't mind, just so that everybody gets an idea of how the thought process starts. And it's not just physical. It's not in between. It all starts from the absolute spiritual center.
Absolutely. Is that good? I agree. Yes, absolutely. You know, the invitation is to contemplate everything that Ani and I are sharing and then to really simplify it for yourselves, because to simplify it at a personal daily level is to how to integrate it in a way that really gives you the foundation of experience with it. As an example, we were talking about the ice cream bowl, et cetera. And one of the things to think about is if it just weirds you out to talk to your ice cream, either quietly or aloud, then I invite everyone to think of it in or contemplate it from a heart-centered place, that whatever you are eating or participating with, eating as the example only, this can expand into any area that you choose, picture prior to participating with a person, place, or object, instead of communicating with it, picture a time of a tremendous joy or a time of tremendous rebirth, a time when you felt anything was possible, a time where you had a connection or woke up from a dream that left you feeling sublime and that you were connected to so much more than just what the moment was offering you. Or if you don't have any of those conscious memories to draw from, then think of one, create it. Because if you can picture it, then you are creating it. You are literally having a relationship with the energetic molecules of that picturing. You are physically and energetically a projection screen out onto this dimension. And so when you literally are projecting that experience onto your food, as an example, your food is participating in the expanded version of perfection. Perfection, if you will, in a way of your connection to the divine, your lack of fear, of limitation, of illusion. See, we're so good at what we do that we have convinced ourselves as a humanity, we've completely convinced ourselves of the limitations and of the fears and of all the hardships to the degree where we experience them when they're happening as the only thing that's real. And at times, the spirit connection or the connection of trust seems the harder connection to have, or the one that creates more of a struggle, or the one that needs more proof. So I invite everyone to contemplate that when we are in struggle in our lives, whether it's lack or a bowl of ice cream or having a craving and we're fighting it, we don't want to give in, etc., that you stop and you pause for a moment and you remember that choice is the personal universal law of free will and freedom, and that when you put the pause button on from whatever is claiming you and causing you to feel that you are overpowered by it, that you choose freedom just through the ability to reintroduce a different perspective and relationship with that moment. And know that molecularly and structurally, fear contracts and breaks down, let's say, the DNA strand. And when you ingest that, at times, you also ingest that energetic. And there's nothing that doesn't say that after you've ingested, maybe you're in the middle of an argument or in a fear-based energy and you are eating and you sometimes will have a stomachache after. You can, even after ingesting that or amplifying fear, you can stop, breathe, focus on the stomach area and invite overwhelming peace and a saturation of joy and love. And molecularly, your body and that food that you participated in will change and reflect that. That is the beauty and the magnificence. It is not too late, and at every single moment, breath and heartbeat, you can change the molecular structure that has taken eons to create. Ani?
Absolutely. Very well put. You know, I was actually going to talk about blessing your food and that type of thing. You know, a lot of my work is going into people's houses and creating sacred space. And I do go into a lot of kitchens, and I pick up some really interesting, not to have a snack, you know, but I go into a lot of kitchens and I pick up some very interesting vibrations in there. I can really genuinely tell who doesn't like their husband and who's really annoyed with their kids. Just by hanging out in the kitchen there. So, you know, absolutely bless your food, because for a start, you don't know where it's been. You don't know, you know, what's in there. You don't know what vibration is in that food. And as Cynthia is saying, with a thought, with a simple blessing, you can change that vibration and vibrationally attune it to a higher vibration. So, you know, everybody bless your food. You're cleansing it, you're purifying it, you're vitalizing it. And hopefully you're cleansing, purifying, and vitalizing yourself as well. So, you know, really, if we think about it, you know, there's only two types of thoughts that we have. I guess we have our visualizations and our memories, our inspirations and our memories. So, we know when you were talking about thinking of visualizing and eating your favorite food and blessing it, Cynthia,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
And I started salivating because I was thinking about the chocolate ice cream and all of that, you know. And you put that into all of our minds out there. Everyone's just sitting here. I don't know if anyone's having ice cream out there. But it got us all going, and it got us all thinking, that food doesn't really exist, does it, except in the virtual world. You planted that seed from the virtual world there, and you put it into our minds, and our mind called it up, you know. Our brain isn't really where it all initiates. It all initiates in that virtual realm. So, you know, if someone were to open up our brain and look for evidence of chocolate ice cream, you know, that we ate earlier, you know, I mean, hopefully it would be a surgeon. You know, a really qualified surgeon. If they opened up our brain and said, where's the chocolate ice cream? Well, they wouldn't find it, would they? No, because it's a virtual memory until we decide.
Mm-hmm.
Until we decide to call it up. And then, of course, all sorts of chemicals activate in the brain, and we recall the memory, and then it's located electronically somewhere in the brain. But until then, all the memory still resides at the soul level, where all of the thinking, all of the changing of all of this molecular structure, all of the intent happens.
Mm-hmm.
So really, you know, what we're saying is intent, imagination, intuition, creativity, all of these are from the spiritual realm, and they're felt through the brain, but they don't originate in our brain. So we're always connected to that magnificent non-local energy there. Now, once it's in the brain, yes, then we define it based on our awareness, I guess, and regarding our experiences. And, you know, we do love to wrap things up nicely, but in nice little bundles, nice house, nice food, nice husband, nice kids, whatever. But at any given time, we can raise our awareness level, and we can rewrite just about anything in our experience, actually anything in our experience at any time that we choose to. So a little bit more, I think, careful, deliberate intent on how we handle and manifest things on this realm and interact with them. Do you agree, Cynthia?
Yes, mm-hmm. I absolutely do. I think that it's an empowering time for people to reclaim and rejoin yourselves with the not only personal permission, but a permission with each other to really move into a state of awareness, and that's only going to happen through your own personal experience. In fact, through the work I do, I invite everyone to really focus on having the personal experience yourselves. Don't take other people's word for it or a book for it or a teacher or a master. Practice it, experience it through yourself, because it takes that one experience where you move from a place of wonder, if it's possible, to the excitement and the energetic pulse that moves through your being. Because as Ani was saying, and I agree that we are part of the spiritual realm, this spiritual realm we are actually existing in and manifesting through. So it's not that we leave one place and join another. It's the remembering and reintegrating that everything we desire to become, we are already a part of. All we have to do is shift our perception. It's just that easy, at times so easy that in our humanity we complicate it. I wanted to talk about foods that we eat regarding nutrition, et cetera, and that at times people have a question regarding meat, eating meats or eating substances of other forms. And the invitation really is to remember that this being, that if you're going to eat meat, that this being had a life experience before participating in yours, so to speak, and really communicate, especially if it's a dense food, really communicate with it prior to eating it. Set your intention and really move into a place of I would say divine orchestration and choreography with both you and the substance. So the outcome for both is the highest it can possibly be. Ani, can you repeat the number for anybody that might be wanting to call in?
I certainly can. Okay, everyone, the number to call, 1-877-876-5227. And one more time, 1-877-876-5227 with your questions or comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Ani. You know, it's fascinating because I've had some clients recently who have had the experience of great burden, great worry, great fear, and it's almost like it brought them to a place on a physical, emotional, mental, and almost spiritual level of they seized up, they became paralyzed because all of this energy that they were experiencing and participating in is energy that slows things down, that contracts and really weights aspects of the energy down, literally like a weight on the DNA or the cellular structure. And it was in that moment of communicating with them, they were getting a chance to talk to their loved ones on the other side, to connect with their higher selves, to see their past lives, etc., that they started experiencing the ability to literally shift their consciousness, change their mind, and literally some of them were saying, my gosh, I forgot that in this moment I don't have to carry the burden, but I can choose to literally acknowledge that I'm feeling burdened and say, there's nothing that I cannot handle. There's nothing that I can't transmute. I am the love and I am the light that I desire, etc. So it's been fascinating to see their entire beings shift. I think we have a caller. Are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great. I was wondering how to use these techniques with, I recently had a disagreement with a close friend. How do you use these techniques to heal that disagreement?
Oh, sure. Thank you for calling. Very appreciative. You know, from my perspective, it's a huge opportunity when you have a disagreement with an individual. First of all, you're going to feel that disagreement within your energy body. You're going to feel that within your physicality, etc. And caller, if you're there, can you hang up because we're getting interference and we'll answer your question?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. So if you are participating in a disagreement, you're going to feel it energetically. And what you're going to feel is a breakdown of communication. You're going to feel a difference in vibration. You're going to feel a difference in the rate of speed of your vibration and the person that you're having an altercation with. And you're going to feel it first. Even if at the same time you're thinking it, your energetic body, which is connected to your physical body. So the first thing I invite people to do is before you even reintegrate with that individual, that you really spend some time, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, the more the better, visualizing that person, visualizing not the details of the altercation, but calling upon the vibration of love to move through you and extend that out to the other person, to call upon the vibration of pink light, which usually represents unconditional love, or blue soothing light, which often represents clear communication, not only to yourself, but how others see you, and invites that light to be shared first through you, calming and cooling down the hot spot, so to speak, and then out to the other party. So spend some time before, if there's two people having an altercation, before you return to that altercation and continue where you left off, my invitation is to sit energetically and send some love, some blue light for communication, some pink light, or just the intention, like we were saying earlier, the intention creates the universe. The intention that next time you gather, next time you interact, you will be experiencing a different energy. Ani?
Yeah, I know. You explained the mechanics of that really well, Cynthia. You know, and also I would just add, it is okay to disagree. After all, emotions are the main source of intelligence on this planet. And we all do have, you know, this is a wonderful opportunity to resolve all those little niggly parts of our ego that keep cropping up. Because when we disagree with someone, it is just our ego bashing against their ego. It's not our Christ consciousness against theirs. But what we don't want is we want that disagreement to dissolve inside on the outer layers of the energetic anatomy. We don't want it to fester and seep into the cellular structure of the body. So do as Cynthia suggested, really take some time before you go back to this person and just calm down and, do the love meditation, send them love, center yourself in your Christ consciousness, in your spirit consciousness, before you go back, knowing full well that it's okay to disagree. Everybody gets to evolve at their own pace. And when you do return, your thinking, your loving, your meditation will have made a difference to that person as well, and you will find that they will respond in kind. So, yeah, that's really where to go with that. Open heart, open mind, and just remember to see the divinity in everyone.
Absolutely, I agree. Yes. And, caller, the other thing you might try as well is if it's hard to extend the love and hard to extend beyond you out towards that individual, I mean, because emotions might be very high and intense, if it's too difficult or if you feel a struggle, because when you're in your spirit space, you will not feel a fight, you'll feel a flow. So if you feel a struggle regarding extending that energy to that other party, then just saturate yourself with that energy and really contemplate what part of this struggle, where am I not being heard, not necessarily about the other person, where am I not being heard, where is the other person not validating me or not hearing me, because then your focus is not on you and being centered, your focus is away from you and on them and not in a positive light but in a negative light or light of imbalance. The invitation is to really sit with yourself and see, where am I feeling I need to be heard, and have I claimed myself there yet? Am I hearing myself there yet? And if I am, is that enough to fulfill me? Is that enough to be, is this altercation reflecting to me where I need to say, I'm okay with having this be my truth, and as long as I can hold it energetically and intentionally, it doesn't matter if others see me clearly. So I see all altercations as an opportunity as well to see if somebody's pushing our buttons, then we are not yet in a place of healing or complete wholeness within ourselves at a state, because certainly even if we're in our complete wholeness, things in the world will still bother us. So it's not that you're completely enlightened and in wholeness if nothing bothers you anymore. That is more like an unconsciousness instead of a consciousness. So things will bother you, but to what extent? Are you being owned by it? Are you being consumed by it? If you are, then the message to you from the spirit realm and from your Council of Guides caller, if you're still there, is you are not fully yet in a place of saying, you know what, I see myself clearly and I hold love there for myself first, and I might be bothered by this again, but I will lessen the degree of how bothered I am. So it's a huge opportunity, and thank you so much, caller, for calling in, because I think that as human beings, we're a mirror to each other of yet where we are possibly yet undone or not fully, I would say, forgiving and loving of ourselves. What do you think, Ani?
I think we're never really angry for the reasons that we think we are, is what I think, Cynthia. Especially when we're especially when we're having altercations with people. It's not usually about that particular thing that we're having the altercation about. So what you said, I totally agree with. It's, you know, sit quietly with it. Where is this coming from? Why am I so upset about this? Why am I behaving in a way that doesn't do me proud? And we'll find, if we dig a little deeply and just sit very quietly and allow the presence of spirit to flow through us, we'll find what it really is that's upsetting us. It's not usually whatever it is we're yelling at our neighbor about. You know, I know for a fact that, you know, every night at midnight, skateboarders roll outside my window. And it's very, very annoying. And there was a time that it would make me so mad, I wanted to literally go, I hate to say this, but pick up the skateboard and smack them on the head with it. But, you know, I had to really sit down with that and go, these are just kids coming home from the park. I know it's late and I know it's rude, but let me just chill and see where that is coming from for me. Why am I so upset? Because nobody else in the complex seems to be upset. It's just me. So I totally relate to that question, and I totally relate to that. Just be quiet, be still, and see where it comes from. Allow the light in, and believe me, you're not angry for the reason that you think you are. Yep.
Very, very, very good. Thank you.
Yeah. And all skateboarders are safe now. I was just saying, all skateboarders are safe now. They're all safe in Portland. Don't worry. Yes. Yes. Don't panic out there. Sorry, Cynthia. Carry on, love.
Yeah. No worries at all. I think, too, what's so fascinating and exciting about being spirit beings, having a physical experience, is the opportunity to be, as an example, a work altercation, only as an example, that somebody might be having, that they're not being seen or heard correctly, they're being wrongfully accused and represented incorrectly, and so... And understandably so, that somebody might feel very, you know, I've had a couple of clients recently with all the fear that's going on. There's a lot of miscommunication, especially in corporate America prior to that and even amplified more now. And so everyone is in a survival mode, so to speak. So as an example, that you are just feeling so, as in your humanity, frustrated and upset about how you're being defined, one of the beautiful things about that is it's often shared from spirits through me to people that at the level of intensity of uncomfortability and frustration and anger, and you just feel consumed again, I was talking about that earlier, by that situation, that intensity is going to be matched by your level of freedom at that level of intensity, your level of ability for peace, of depth of peace, etc. And the beauty of that is that in your humanity, when faced with a huge stumbling block or a huge consuming situation, that when you can move through it, and possibly this dimension might reintroduce in the future, not the same situation, but different players, that you're either hearing about somebody that you care about that's going through that, or maybe even this dimension bumps up against you and says, are you completely free from this within you? And you find that there's no emotional pulse, there's no emotional reaction. You are able to celebrate your complete freedom and rite of passage and quickening rate of speed and remember from where you were consumed from something that now you're completely free of it. So the whole message, long message as it was, is, folks, you might be drawn to a certain job, relationship, and situation, like Ani was saying, and I agree with, for a completely different reason than you think. And once your soul grasps the freedom of what that reason came into your life to claim, you're no longer attached to the job or the person or the situation. Ani?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Well put. You know, everyone, I think you've heard this time and time again from us, and this is the ultimate changing of the whole molecular structure of everything. You know, we are divine beings, and we were created to create our own experience. We are absolutely here to create our own life experience. So it's our choice what perspective we change that from. Are we going to do it from a physical perspective? It's going to be temporary. If we do it from a divine perspective, then we are literally changing universal consciousness for the better. Now, talking about, it's interesting, Cynthia, that you mentioned that you had a lot of, that you were dealing with people who were very uncomfortable with the fear generated in the workplace right now, because mm-hmm. I'm seeing a lot of that myself. Mm-hmm. And, people are being laid off left, right, and center, and everyone's trying to tell us there's an economic downturn, and of course everyone's buying into it. So there is this general unease right now, and outright abject fear. And everyone's coming in, and when we're in fear, we start to complain again, and we start to make judgments again, and we start to talk about things, and we forget that we're the creators of our own experience with our thoughts. So we start saying things like, our boss is a really horrible person, and da 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 da. So, mm-hmm. May I just put it out there? there's a little game that we play, and I do believe, I'm not going to take credit for this, it was probably from the Abraham Collective, from Esther and Jerry Hicks. It's a little game that we play called Wouldn't It Be Nice? And we take 5-10 minutes a day in our corporate offices or in our cubicles, wherever we work, and holding consciousness the things that are pushing your buttons, the people that are pushing your buttons. And rather than talking about them in a negative way, just rephrase it to say, instead of saying, Joe Blow in the cubicle next to me has really strong aftershave and he's really a horrible person, let's change that to, wouldn't it be nice if Joe Blow was promoted and moved to a different office where I couldn't smell his aftershave? Or, you know, wouldn't it be nice if they moved my desk away from the ladies' toilet? Wouldn't it be nice? You know, change the way that we perceive things and look at things. And as you do that, you're actually releasing all of that static from the energetic signature of it, and you're inviting something better to come into your experience. Okay? Just, I think what I'm trying to say, and I never really know what I'm trying to say, but I think what I'm trying to say is that an intention, it's not just a thought. At the highest level, it's not just a thought. But bearing in mind that we're here on the physical realm of our own choice, creating our own experience, an intention at that point then, I guess, is a way to fill a need in our life experience. You know, if we have an intention, for example, oh, we need more money. We need more time with our friends. We intend to have more time with our families. We need more time to study. You know, what is the goal for all of this? Why do we have these intentions? And if you ask anyone, it's really because it'll make me happy. Money will make me happy. Time with my family will make me happy. All of these things will make me happy. So our true and ultimate goal of our existence is joy, the joy from which we came from. It is to make everything, you know, to be happy. So if one person has an intention and fulfills it, even in these little gentle ways of playing, wouldn't it be nice, you know, mm-hmm. others are inspired by it, and then they begin to desire it. And, you know, you spread the joy, and that's the beginning of some, you know, mass universal consciousness. And the more we repeat this and the higher the vibration, the more it becomes a habit and the more it spreads. So even though your intention may be a small individualized expression, it is going to have an effect on universal consciousness. Even something as simple as, you know, buying a car, you're helping everyone in the auto industry. Buying shoes, you're helping everyone in the fashion industry. You know, and educating the masses. At that point, of course, you're saving the entire world, which is wonderful. But, you know, it's not, you know, intention, attention, focus. Our thoughts create our reality. And if we create with deliberate intent, then we're putting something really good in the bank for future generations.
Oop. Absolutely. Thank you, Ani.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yes, we have a caller.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, caller.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. You were talking about fear, and I was saying, have you ever heard of the acronym of fear as being false energy as reality?
Yes.
Yeah, well, when I think of it that way, it puts everything in perspective for me. And I was just wondering, when you change your outlook or perspective, whether it's on a spiritual level, like you say, if you're having problems with somebody, and let's say, usually with me, it's my daughter. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And not so much now that she's moved away, but I find that if I change, she changes. Like, if I don't let her push my buttons, like you say, you step back, does that mm-hmm. mean your actual reality has changed?
Absolutely.
I always wonder about that. Is it
yes,
like,
thank you, caller. That's an excellent question.
Okay, I'll hang up, because I always wonder if I'm touching into a probable, you know, when that happens. Because it seems like
absolutely.
Everybody around you changes. So,
anyway,
Noella from Canada, and I'll hang up now and hear your answer.
Okay. Thank you so much,
thank
caller.
You. Okay, bye.
Bless you. Bye-bye. I think that, excellent question, and very much pertaining to the collective that we're creating here, yes, you are changing your reality, and you are affecting energetically. Let's say, as an example, a very visual example, if you will. You have a strand of pearls, and each pearl, as the caller, you have a strand of pearl, and each pearl has a sacred geometric intention on each individual pearl. And when your daughter calls, you have the necklace on you, and you extend one side of the open necklace to her, and she takes it. And when she takes it, there's an energetic and beautiful strand of pearls connecting you. Now, the intention and the sacred geometric language on each pearl that is in a stream of consciousness, that means in movement, it's moving towards her and back to you, is a message. And that message coming from you of peace, or of not letting her push your buttons, like you said, then energetically what you are sending her, and she's holding on to the other side of that strand of pearls, it is a opportunity to change what she is receiving from you. It doesn't trigger her, it doesn't trigger you. Instead, it creates a beautiful exchange that alters not only your reality, but it gives her an opportunity to experience your reality, in turn changing hers in relationship to you and herself. So it's this beautiful symphony of energetic equations and interactions that, yes, caller, you are talking about collective mass consciousness. And when you connect with your daughter and you don't allow her to push your buttons, therefore you don't move into changing the sacred geometry of those beautiful pearls into a broken strand or into a contracted one, then you literally, because of all of our connections to the mass consciousness, you have changed a possible, we won't get into quantum physics, but you have changed a possible quantum opportunity into one of peace. And therefore, that is rooted in this physical dimension. I want Ani to address this, but one last point is we are spiritual beings in a physical dimension. When we choose, like you do, caller, to not allow your buttons to be pushed, you are like the spoken word, the physical representation of the marriage of matter and spirit in this physical dimension. And when you choose to allow an experience to offer you peace and enlightenment, and it feels good, then you have literally left your soul signature on the book of this dimension. Ani?
Thank you, Cynthia. Hi, caller. You know, this is the kind of thinking and this is the kind of action that changes the world one person at a time, and it multiplies. If somebody is, you know, pressing your buttons and you are not responding, you're responding with love, you're not, you know, fueling the flames, you're basically dissolving. You're basically forgiving before it's even happened. And you are creating a beautiful, peaceful signature in this world for not just you and your daughter, but for everybody in universal consciousness to share. These little tiny random acts, this is what we're talking about. These little tiny acts like this, these acts of love, these acts of God-centered peace, this is what is going to shift consciousness on this planet, and that
absolutely.
We sorely need. So thank you for that.
Yes,
thank
absolutely.
You very much.
And yes, thank you very much for participating and sharing. And, you know, false energy appearing real, or any type of fear, is the collective. We have, as a mass consciousness and collective experience, what happens to a saturated level when we create collective fear and we create mass fear. And we have the opportunity to begin to recognize that we can do that at this level. We also then can do the duality, which is the opposite of that, at the same level, which is create your own personal heaven on earth and then affect the wave of consciousness to offer it a different, better way to experience itself as well. Ani?
Yes, we carry heaven and hell within us, all of us. So put down the hell, you know, and step into the heaven. Very well put, Cynthia. You know, it's our perception, you know, and perception does work on this realm. What we choose to believe, that is our reality, one step at a time, one person at a time.
Not I want to address callers or individuals that are participating that are going, you know, this all sounds great, but I've been working on my spirituality for 20 years, and I'm still waiting to experience this physical dimension to match it. And if you are one of those people, what I'm here to tell you is, when you are asking, when you are giving permission for change in your life, you really have to be ready to experience the change, and that means letting go of your level of comfort and security and what it looks like and feels like, and remain open to embracing a new and different version of you and your life experience. If you've been working your spirituality for 20 years or for 10 minutes or for 10 hours and you feel like you're in a game of waiting, you feel like you're in a game of waiting. Sometimes in our humanity, you'll define, I have reached my enlightenment when my boss gives me a raise. That's when I'll get a sign from my guides. Or when that skirt I want goes on sale. That's when I know I've changed my level of consciousness and I made that happen. When you define your enlightenment and your empowerment through affecting another, before you allow your own intention to affect you, you're going to be waiting a long time. So, callers and individuals, and again, as Cynthia Sloan says it, never replace your own truth, really contemplate it, and if it resonates, make it your own. But if you're listening and you're still in waiting, or you're feeling like a lot of people feel attacked by their circle of friends or family or community when they are looking to fly and take flight, you have to, how you translate a situation can free you from it or can really bind you to it. So recognize that sometimes as well, when you're about to make a change and you are reaching for the unlimited version of you and ready to take that flight, the people that have defined their safety and security on your presence will cause them fear. That will threaten their reality, and they will desire to hold on to you even greater. If that's the case, don't try and change their mind, because then you are interacting with their level of limitation and you are slowing your vibration down. But instead, be a mirror of what is possible. Ani?
Absolutely. And, you know, during this time, too, as we reach for our new spiritual experience, from time to time you may experience some of the old resistance coming back in your life. You know, a little bit of illness, a little bit of confusion, a little bit of sadness and all of that. You know, allow that to flow through you. And I think one of the things that I tell people is when you understand that allowing is not a passive act, but allowing spirit is actually self-acceptance, which is embracing love, which is the whole fundamental root of creation, then your resistance starts to slip away and you gently allow yourself to flow through and look at others with love, with empathy, and with true compassion, and you're totally fine with where they want to be and you're very comfortable with where you want to be, and it just flows. It's all right just the way it is and just the way it isn't.
Absolutely. And, beautifully put.
Thank you, ma'am.
Well, you know, that about wraps it up for tonight.
It does. Has it been 55 minutes already, Cynthia? Oh, God, it went so fast tonight. I have so much to say. We're going to have to do this again. All right. Thank you, everyone. It's always a pleasure. Thank you for tuning in. And please, we love the emails that we get. Some of them are really funny. So please do send us a line, brazilbrit@gmail.com. brazilbrit@gmail.com.
Absolutely. And please tune in to our next show, which I think we actually are going to continue talking about molecular structure and taking fabulous calls, because I think we both have so much more to say and share on the subject that we'll just tune in for chapter 2, if you will, in 2 weeks from today. And thank you so much, callers. As always, we are infinitely so grateful to have this opportunity and to have the opportunity to communicate with callers and to address the love that we feel for all the experiences.
Yeah, so it's been a lot of...
Go ahead.
No, It's okay. Hi. I'm just saying, this is Ani Avedisyan. I'm tuning out. I don't know what you're doing, Cynthia, but I'm tuning out. So this is Ani Avedisyan, encouraging you to let your imagination drive your incarnation.
And this is Cynthia Sloan. If it resonates, make it your own. Love to you all. Bye.
Bye.